The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
3, 4, 1, 2.
So actually, I think they are taking it all in taxes. I heard there's a bill coming into California that possibly they're going to have your employer send your check to the state of California, and they'll send you back what you have coming back, and they can avoid any tax cheating that way. KCNR, 1460.com, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. I am Nick. We've got Doug with us, and we've got Joshua Johnson, who's going to defend Measure A. We're going to start off with a clip. It's Shasta Annan. It's about 14 minutes. Stick around, listen to the whole thing, and Josh is going to take the final 45 minutes defending it. Go.
In 2025, a mysterious group of business leaders began an initiative to raise the sales tax in Reading. The announcement came in March of 2025, just as the city was wrestling with a $5 million deficit. It was later revealed that the deficit was even larger than first reported.
The total reduction from where we started this budget year is probably pushing $8 million.
It was this startling revelation that led Councilwoman Tanessa Audette to break ranks with her fellow council members and dig into the issue further. What followed was a five-month investigation into Reading's finances, which she published in early August.
I think it's time to bring some justice to the people.
That research revealed a pattern of bad projections and incomplete reporting by the city and a lack of transparency from City Manager Barry Tippett. Audette was aided in her effort by the City of Reading's former finance director, Denise Maxwell, who was surprised by what she saw.
That is not what I'm accustomed to. That is not how it was when I was a finance director.
Audette's report made waves on social media, just as it was announced that the sales tax measure would be on the November ballot, along with Gavin Newsom's bad faith redistricting measure. Though the sales tax group said they were a grassroots effort, evidence suggested otherwise, and citizens were skeptical.
We already struggle in the economy as it is, and just adding another increase is not really helping people.
As it turned out, it was not the first time that a proposed tax measure had come before the voters. In 2014, outgoing Mayor Rick Bozzetti pushed a 0.25% sales tax increase to fund more police. In the wake of AB 109, Reading saw a surge in crime, including around South City Park and Tiger Field, where Bozzetti managed the Colt 45's baseball team. The city had recently given a series of pay raises to city executives, including Barry Tippett, whose salary rose over $20,000 in a single year, while many of Reading's taxpayers were still struggling in a poor economy. Patrick Jones spoke forcefully against raising taxes, and instead urged the council to act responsibly with the people's money.
We do not have a revenue problem. We have a spending priority problem.
Bozzetti promised to throw his full support behind the measure and predicted it would succeed. But this did not happen, and the measure failed to pass by a wide margin. 2 years later, a new council went even further and placed a half-cent sales tax on the ballot. The measure came as a result of the Blueprint for Public Safety, which was created by a consultant firm from the Bay Area. The measure needed 50% plus one to pass, but only received 38% and was a dismal failure. And the Blueprint for Public Safety, which cost $155,000, has since been forgotten. In 2020, the County Board of Supervisors went further still and placed a full 1% sales tax on the ballot. The scope of the measure was broad and encompassed all areas of public safety, from the DA's office to a potential jail expansion. Registrar of Voters Kathy Darling Allen made a critical error when she labeled the measure a cannabis tax in the voter guide. Her mistake cost the county $20,000 to fix, and citizens ultimately voted the measure down in March of 2020, only a few short weeks before the COVID lockdowns hit California and the nation. During the lockdowns, the economy was poor, and the city accepted millions of dollars in COVID relief. Despite the uncertain financial outlook, City Manager Barry Tippin found the money to hire an equity officer, which he said would help the city work in a diverse world. The compensation for that position the following year, with benefits, was $169,000. In 2021, the Biden administration sent out large stimulus checks to individual households, which boosted spending as well as inflation. This temporary surge in consumer spending increased sales tax revenue to the city of Reading. In January of 2022, Fiscal Director Greg Robinette projected that the sales tax revenue would continue to climb.
The experience we've seen thus far this year, we believe that our sales tax revenue is doing very well, and while it might flatten a little bit, it still continues to be growing at this time.
Later in that same meeting, the council discussed giving raises to 88 city executives, including Barry Tippin. Based on Robinette's optimistic projections, Mayor Kristen Schrader thought the time was right for raises.
Now, we're in a position financially, and the projections are only looking better. This is the time to do it.
Councilman DeQuisto disagreed.
We're using taxpayer money, not our money. The only way the city gets money is by taxing, by paying fines or paying penalties. We don't get money because we earn it in a job in a traditional sense. And I think that as a result of that, we have an obligation to be more prudent with the money that we spend and what we go do with it.
Barry Tippin passionately defended the executive raises.
It is very important. Every employee in this city, every person who you employ is important. Every single one. And without the COGS all the way down the line, we wouldn't be successful.
Nobody has disputed that in the last 4 years, the total pension liability went up $30 million, and in the last year went up $10 million, and that's on our watch. Irrespective of the reason, those are facts and those are numbers, and I didn't hear Mr. Robinette say I was wrong. I didn't hear you say I was wrong.
You are not wrong.
Schrader said I was wrong. So it's gone up that much money. For whatever the reason is.
That is correct.
And we can have a difference of opinion as to the cause or what contributed to it.
As long as we also agree that we have a budget surplus right now that we're able to take advantage of.
The raises were eventually approved on a 3-2 vote, with Kristen Schrader, Julie Winter, and Aaron Ressner voting yes, and Met Sano and DeQuisto voting no. Barry Tippin's salary the following year, with benefits, was nearly $500,000. A few months after the raises had been granted, it was revealed that sales tax revenues were below projection, and there would likely be a budget shortfall of nearly $4 million. Rather than balance the budget immediately to make up for the shortfall, Tippin advised the city council to spend into the city's budget reserves in the hopes that the economy would recover by the next budget. That did not happen, however, and by 2024, Tippin was announcing that the city had a $5 million shortfall, which he later amended.
The total reduction from where we started this budget year is probably pushing $8 million.
Behind the scenes, Tippin met with city council members one-on-one and lobbied them to place a sales tax increase on the ballot, but did not find any support. He turned to civic organizations and nonprofits to see if they would be willing to sponsor a new sales tax measure, as well as local media, where he floated a new idea.
There is an allowance for a citizen-driven initiative.
Making the measure a citizen-led initiative would lower the threshold to only 50% plus one to pass. Tippin eventually found a sympathetic ear in Joshua Johnson, who served for a short time on the council. Tippin worked directly with Johnson and the sales tax group to craft a measure to meet what he believed the city needed most. This included spending for police, fire, and roads, but it also included something else, a 10% slush fund that could be used by the council however it sees fit, which would amount to about $3 million a year. The proposed sales tax also has no sunset provision and could only be overturned by a costly ballot initiative. Another prominent supporter of the measure was Baron Browning, the former mayor of Anderson and member of the Rodeo Association, who paid the filing fees for the measure and signed his name to the notice of intent. The measure also had the backing of Erica Jones, wife of Todd Jones, who is the CEO of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce. The chamber is paid over $600,000 a year from the general fund to do marketing work for the city of Reading. Erica serves on a number of city boards and was the chair of CSAC, the City of Reading's Community Services Advisory Committee. The sales tax group called itself Citizens for a Better Reading, and their spokesman was Dennis Morgan. Morgan is co-owner of Banner Real Estate on Hilltop Drive and was formerly the president of the Shasta County Board of Realtors and has backed past efforts to raise Reading's sales tax, which ultimately failed. Though Citizens for a Better Reading said the sales tax measure was a grassroots effort, it took on the air of a polished political campaign. The group formed a PAC, created a website, and purchased a domain, which was registered anonymously. The treasurer of that PAC is Corey Wells, who lives in Springville, California, about 400 miles south of Reading. Corey is a member of the Tulare Republican Central Committee and a frequent speaker at city council meetings in nearby Porterville. Funds for the sales tax initiative are sent to a P.O. box in Springville and held at a bank in Visalia. The group hired a law firm specializing in city government and spent over $7,000 on a political consulting firm to help craft their message to voters. To get their measure on the ballot, the group relied on professional signature gatherers from Arizona who were paid $10 a signature, whether it was valid or not. Of the 9,000 signatures collected, only 67% were valid, and over 3,000 had to be thrown out. Those signature gatherers were hired by a consulting firm in Sacramento who acted as the signature broker. All in all, the sales tax group paid the firm $116,000 to gather signatures, rather than relying on local volunteers. Most of the money for those signatures came from Advance Reading, a local nonprofit that manages the Civic Auditorium and is headed by Julie Dyer. Advance Reading gave the group $50,000. Not long after they made that political contribution, Advance Reading asked the city council for $675,000 to keep their doors open, in a move that many saw as politically tone deaf.
Julie?
Yeah.
Are you sitting in your cement palace just flush with cash?
Jiminy Christmas.
Are you hiding a secret mound of money that we don't know?
No,
you're not.
No.
Another $20,000 came from Bryant Wellness Partners, based in Alameda, California, which runs a cannabis dispensary in Reading. The measure has also received a combined $30,000 from the Reading Rancheria and Sierra Pacific Industries. Thousands of dollars has also come from public sector unions, who represent city workers, and stand to gain from raises and new positions that the sales tax could provide. Though the sales tax has the support of corporations, public sector unions, and other special interests, barely any money has come from regular citizens, in the form of small dollar donations. In June of 2025, after months of controversy, the city council was presented with a completed budget for the next two fiscal years. Barry Tippin assured the public that the budget was balanced.
Yeah, we don't have a deficit in city budget. Let's just be absolutely forthright. We don't have a deficit in city budget anymore.
Council members Mike Littaw and Aaron Reznor were effusive in their praise of Barry Tippin and staff for their hard work.
To our city manager, answering all my questions through all the budget workshops, personal meetings, and just thank you to the transparency that got us here.
But Councilwoman Audette had serious concerns.
Well, we must have all been at different meetings. So the idea that we have a robust conversation about expenditures or revenue is not true, because Tuesday we actually got this document, which is not the same as this document of the information I got. And so I do have a lot of questions, because the workshops, we were not given actual numbers. As a matter of fact, I was told you don't need actual numbers for a budget. I called the League of Cities and said, hey, do you think that that is appropriate, that we would not be given actuals for in a budget discussion, and they said, that's crazy.
The other council members were done talking about the budget and were ready to move on.
So I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, well,
yes. Do we have, so I'm going to go through them. So the 10-year budget.
We'll see about that.
And she was eventually gaveled down.
Can we call her over here?
Have a balanced budget. The idea.
We're moving on with the vote.
Councilmember Audette?
No.
Danuka?
Yes.
Reznor?
Yes.
Latar?
Yes.
Mayor Munns?
Yes.
Only a day after the contentious budget vote, the sales tax proponents turned in their signatures to the city clerk. The signature turn-in was done with little fanfare, and a post on the group's Instagram account announcing the milestone was met with a single like. In the wake of Councilmember Audette's allegations of fiscal mismanagement by the city, fellow councilmembers Lita and Reznor have started their own podcast defending the city and its budget process. Barry Tippin recently announced his retirement, which will occur in early October. Tippin has worked in the public sector for over 30 years and is eligible to receive hundreds of thousands of dollars each year from his CalPERS pension. That pension benefit will be calculated using his current salary, which was negotiated 2 years ago in 2023. As it turned out, Tippin directly negotiated his salary with the city council in closed session, which may have broken the Brown Act, according to Councilwoman Audette, who was in the meeting. During that meeting, in 2023, Michael DeQuisto spoke out against giving out more executive raises and correctly predicted the situation that the city finds itself in today.
I told you, it's on an unsustainable path, and the way the government is financed, we got a two-year budget through because we used $3 or $4 or $5 million of one-time money. The interest rates, in my opinion, are not going to come down. The gas prices are not going to come down significantly. And it's going to put the city in a bad position. And then we're going to have to be coming back in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, 2 years. And we're going to have to cut services or cut people or cut this and that. And I don't think that's right. I also think that some of the raises that we're giving at 15% across the board to a lot of these people, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Many of Reading's public sector unions are in the process of renegotiating their MOUs with the city. And it is likely that more raises will be coming, increasing the city's pension debt and dipping further into the general fund. The sales tax group is asking the citizens of Reading to raise their own cost of living in the hopes of having more money to spend on amenities. But after years of fiscal mismanagement by the city, many remain skeptical.
And so when this new solution of a sales tax comes, my concern is that it's not going to give the people all of these amazing amenities. It's really just going to plug a very deep hole that we have dug ourselves into.
Questions also remain about the sales tax group itself. Rather than an organic outpouring from average day-to-day citizens in Reading, the sales tax increase is being pushed by civic leaders, local nonprofits, and political consultants. And it is ultimately the brainchild of Barry Tippin. The true test of the measure's support will come on November 4th, when the citizens of Reading will have the final say on how their hard-earned money is spent.
Well, there you have it. It was supposed to be about 15 minutes. It ran a bit longer. Thank you, folks, for listening that whole time. But that is Shasta Anon and his take on the funding and the source. And actually, one of the people mentioned in that was a Mr. Joshua Johnson. And Joshua Johnson is right here across the desk from us. And I'm going to play Charlie Kirk. I'm not going to quite use his thing. Prove me wrong. But let us know, Mr. Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where is Shasta Anon wrong? Where is, you know, was this generated by Tippin? Why was it funded outside the area? Your mic is yours, and we've got about 40 minutes of show left. So let's hear what you got to say, sir.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully we can have a good conversation here back and forth. I'm sure we will.
We'll keep Nick out of it, so
yeah,
that'll be good.
Okay.
Slap me around so I don't have anything to say.
Well, first I just want to start by saying that, you know, I've been a lifelong Republican and conservative. I hate that we're even in this position. You know, as a city in California, I think California sets cities up to fail in many ways. I think that we can look at AB 109, Prop 47, Prop 57, keep going on down the list, and the cost, and we should get into it, the cost that those laws in and of themselves have on the city of Reading are pretty enormous. So when people say, hey, why has things changed over the last 20 years? There's a lot to, just those things alone. But, let's go to the video. I actually think, you know, with any of these videos that are flying around, they're not all wrong. They have ounces of truth. They have things that I would say, yeah, that's actually true. It's the tone in which they're trying to say it to kind of bring about some sort of conspiracy that I think are pretty wrong, because I've been a part of this from, I'll tell you a little, history lesson here. It only goes back a year, so you don't have to go too deep.
Good. Nick's very shallow, so just keep it simple.
Okay, all right. We'll actually go back 10 months then to help Nick. Just 10 months ago, it was post the election of 2024. I lost by 1.5%, and I had planned on winning, so I had a lot of time on my hands that I had carved out to spend on city business, but I was no longer part of the city. I was no longer employed. I was appointed city council for 5 months. So previously I was spending quite a bit of time on the rodeo lease, on other types of situations. I could have just sat in that chair and just showed up every other Tuesday, but I find that this work is really fun. And so I got really involved. Then I lost the election and it was over December 3rd, 2024. You know, I had a lot of time. I got involved and, looked at a lot of what Greg Robinette was, his reports. I spent a lot of time in his office digging in, asking questions. I wanted to understand our different funds. I wanted to understand pensions. I wanted to understand our unfunded liability, understand this deficit that was looming or talked about for
now,
this.
Now, did he mention how wrong his reports were? Because that's one of the things Shasta Non talks about, and I'm not to cut you off, but he made all these projections, and it turned out all these projections were wrong. So was he telling you the truth, or was he giving his rosy, things are great and there's flowers and unicorns for everybody?
No, I mean, he's admitted publicly that the projections were wrong.
Massively, millions.
Yeah, I actually found that most cities projected incorrectly post-COVID, and so we aren't alone in that. So if we want to create a little fan club, I mean, there are a lot of cities can get together and say we messed up. I think there were incorrect projections, but we actually have a 10-year budget, so we can actually see how wrong. From my understanding, the county does not do 10-year budgeting, so you know they're not as you can't criticize their process as much as you can criticize. So somebody who puts in an effort to put a 10-year budget out there so they can course correct gets more criticized than an organization, an agency that has a multiplier of a budget compared to the city of Reading and doesn't have a 10-year plan. But that's for some other conversation. But yes, he did admit that there was. You know, we overprojected revenues. However, you know, our property tax did go up. Sales tax went down. We didn't understand how inflation was going to impact costs, right?
Didn't they factor in the ARPA funds and those kind of things into their projections that were obviously short-term money infusions?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a part of those decisions. I wish they would have. I think that, you know, hiring long-term personnel that have pensions on one-time money is a bad idea. That's.
And Mr. DeQuisto, I mean, you know, we had Mike on our show, I don't know, 2 years ago, I think, when he was running. But when you hear the commentary, you know, he was pointing out to everybody, hey, look, we cannot do this. We don't have a budget surplus. We're going to have a shortfall because this money is one time.
Right.
And, you know, and that's what comes back to you. And I think we're getting towards a break and we'll have 30 minutes finished up. But as Shasta Anna talks, you know, is Barry found a sympathetic ear, and they name you in particular. But, you know, DeQuisto was screaming from the rooftops. He was like, hey, this is one-time money. We can't make these long-term obligations. We can't hire these people. We can't do 15% raises on one-time money. And turns out, from all of these so-called experts in the city, from Tip and down, the only person that was actually right was Mr. DeQuisto. He was saying all the right stuff, and everybody thought, oh, Mikey, you're just being Mr. Negative Nelly, and it turns out he was the one that was actually kind of the adult in the room, I guess is how we would call that. And here we are with an $8 million shortage, and it's my opinion, and you're in real estate as well, that I think the market and the economy are changing, and I think our numbers are going to get even worse than what they projected already. And so we want to hear after our break, I think it's 8:30 or it's getting close to it here. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Where does this money come from? If we're starting to lose jobs, economy, things are slowing down, houses are going to start losing value. I mean, and those are just things that are happening whether we want to or not. That's just the fact.
Didn't you hear Redding bought the Barack Obama magic money tree? And they're trying to fertilize it and get it going. We're just going to go downstairs and pick money off the tree. Let's hit break, huh? We'll be back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Most everyone knows that Orchard Nutrition Center has a big selection of vitamins and supplements, a fresh bakery and deli, organic groceries, and certified organic produce from Shasta County and surrounding areas. What I know is, my mom loves shopping at Orchard Nutrition Center. Her motto, you are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. She says that all the time. Personally, I believe her. As a kid, I like things that are sweet. So when she comes home with farm-fresh local fruit, trust me, it's sweet. Mom loves all the local veggies. And Dad, he likes meat. Orchard carries locally grown, 100% grass-fed beef. So guess what? Dad's even eating healthy, and he doesn't even know it. If you haven't been to Orchard Nutrition, you owe it to yourself and the ones you love. Just remember what my mom says. You are what you eat. If you eat healthy, you'll be healthy. It all starts at Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Open 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., 7 days a week.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
So, the biggest reason we need to have a tax, according to two idiots, I call it Tano and the Pillsbury Doughboy, is our tax is only 1.25%, and even Chico's got 9.25%, and Humboldt's got 10.25%, so we've got to raise taxes. That's the end of the argument.
No.
I couldn't agree with you more, but why do we need these taxes when we see the raises that were given out in 2024?
Okay, pin in that question because there was a question before the break.
During the break, Joshua and I got talking about how he was named in the video from Shasta and on that, you know, of all the people that Barry could have tapped, he picked on him. And Joshua, you'd like to clear the air.
Well, first, I mean, I saw that video when it came out, and not all conservatives are like super like Shasta and on fans, and I don't feel like I need to put out a video to correct, you know, everybody's argument or conspiracies about stuff. But I will just say that this was not a mastermind of Barry.
I will say that's so, kind of what the video does allude to, that this right. was kind of a Barry Tippin generated because he could benefit as good upper man.
I'll tell you how Barry was involved though. So please. Barry was involved. But he just didn't direct it. So I did ask Barry in the course of my kind of needs analysis data research, about costs of things and maintenance of different things. And then he gave me access after I was out to talk to directors directly to get, you know, what are the maintenance costs and show me the budgets on what does it take to maintain various parks? What does it take to maintain our roads? How do we get caught up? Help me understand what Michael Webb has been talking about, that we're 100 million short on getting our road score up from 49 to 79, you know, per se. And what does it take? And, you know, and allow me to ask really tough questions of that. Barry, I'll tell you this, you know, Barry wanted more discretionary money. The attorney told us when we were writing this ordinance that giving the city only 10% discretionary was putting it in a straitjacket. And I said, great, compared to all other state sales tax measures. So Barry wanted more discretionary because he believes whatever he believes, right?
He needs a raise.
Whatever it is. But what I'm saying is that he didn't direct this. The only time I brought him involved, like, into this was to, you know, understand a little bit about how police, pensions, and ongoing liabilities would, to make sure that when we say that 13% are going to police, that we actually, when that gets allocated, that it will cover the cost that we say it will cover. When Fire Station 9, will it cover the cost of Fire Station 9 and the firemen that it take to operate that? I needed to know. Because I didn't want to say 12% or put 12% in there, but so we mapped it out. We put a whole deal together, went out 30 years to make sure that it was going to cover. And so the only thing that I did was to verify what we wanted. Those numbers did not come out the way that Barry wanted. So then after that, the committee really had no connection to City Hall. No city council members are brought in, to some of their chagrin. Some of them wanted to be involved. I won't say their names. Some of them who sounded like they really wanted to be involved. And we're like, no, this is not for them. This is not from them. This is not by them. This is totally separate. And so
it's from you.
No, not from me.
Well, no, it sounds to me like you're the guy that put it together.
Well, I'm the guy.
I want to go to something else.
Hold on.
I don't care why it was made. It's made. I want to go to why we're doing it. Would you play clip number 3? That's the one with me at the city. Okay, let's play that clip.
You know, I went to Transparent California about a week and a half ago, and surprise, surprise, the 2024 wages and compensation was up. And it shocked me. Barry Tippin got a $131,000 raise in his compensation in 2024. There were 5 people over $500,000, their total compensation. The first one was a police officer, and I learned a long time ago not to piss the cops off, so I'm going to skip him. He probably deserved it because they're shorthanded and he worked a lot of overtime. But the next 3 was Barry Tippin. His total compensation was $589.5. Well, we don't need to do that. His raise was 131. Nicholas Dietl, his raise was 135. And Ted Miller, his raise was $122,000. That comes out to $388,000, just those 3. So I skipped on down to page 8, and I saw police officers. And there was 5 or 6 there. Page 9 had someone. And their average total compensation was $170,000. Now, you could have hired 2 police officers for the raises you gave these 3 guys. Did you consider that when you voted for these raises? Then the top 12, their total compensation, or their total raise in their compensation from 2003 to 2024 was $1,443,000. That would hire 4 police officers and 4 firefighters. I think your priorities are in the wrong place.
So I need to apologize to the city council that was there because they didn't vote on it. It was the city council before that. I wonder why we have to wait a year to see what the raises are. And surprise, surprise, it's after this 1 cent tax comes out. So then I look at the money that REU is spending. Well, the city of Reading borrows money from REU and decides not to pay it back, and that's no big deal. And then we're buying electric bicycles for all these people, and we're giving rebates on electric cars. We're just throwing money away, and we need another 1 cent tax. Down at my house by Rayleigh's, on Hartnell, they just put in, I think, 10 charging stations. I wonder who paid for that.
Well, you know that, I don't know if you're tying all of those examples. I think
I'm
that
tying
to,
it all in that no, they've but, spent like a bunch of drunken sailors
right,
they want one more cent, but we're going to spend it right this time. That's my point.
No, so they don't, so listen, like, the, we are directing this to go to these specific, you know, places. I wasn't a part of city council when they made those raises, so, you know, I can't really speak to any of that. And, you know, all the stuff, you know, about Barry's pay, like, you would have to get into comparison on other cities and
Why?
Really get into it.
You give a person a raise because they did a good job. Can you say our city's any better than it was 5 years ago?
Well, I want to talk about why we put this forward. I think that there, I still think that the city council that you elect every other year, you elect either two or three, you need to hold them accountable, right? But at the same time, just a second. So at the same time, where I am is when Reagan became governor, and I think Reagan was one of the, you know, best political leaders of the last, you know, generation. And, you know, when he became governor in 1967, he raised taxes to fill a deficit, and then gave back the surplus in 1973 in the form of other types of rebates and other types of income tax breaks. Because, you know, at a time when you can't wait for all the fix-it solution sometimes and let everything deteriorate while you're fixing it, I do believe that we need to fix a lot of things at City Hall. I don't disagree with that, Nick. But I do think that we have critical assets, our roads, our police, our fire, some of the parks. I actually wish we wouldn't have built some of our parks without the ongoing maintenance. This plugs that hole. I do believe that this plugs that hole.
Speaking of parks, South City Park, Rick Bozzetti and Les Melberg went to the city council. Were you there when they wanted a $1.5 million of the ARPA funds?
Mm-hmm.
They said, we'll take over the park. You give us 1.5, we've got another $10 million that we can get lined up, private funds, and we'll do this. And they turned them down. They could have, City of Reading could have washed their hands of the money they're going to spend on South City Park right then.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, that we could take up the entire morning talking about those specific decisions.
But. No, I've got others too.
Yeah, I bet.
So this 1%, what's funny is, you know, the thing that we hear over and over about it is, well, it's lower than Chico and Humboldt and where else? All of those are liberal dominated crap holes we've
and
found.
Nothing's better than nothing
so,
better.
So, and so why? So all of a sudden we're going to aspire to raise our taxes to match liberal cities. That's not very Republican, to be honest with you. And it's not very smart, because the one thing that government has pros, and this is when Carl and I had our little interchange 2 weeks ago, is in private sector, when you run short, you lay people off or you cut salaries. In public sector, we never cut anything except programs, but we always raise salaries and we somehow charge more money for worse service. So why didn't anybody consider, why don't we just cut salaries? And I used the example with Carl, 10% across anybody making 200 grand or more a year, 10% cut. That still puts them at 90% of their pay. And if they don't like it, leave, because they're not going to even make 90% of their pay at any other city, because we are so well paid here. And that would almost fill in $1.8 million is what I figured.
Well, let me
why did anybody figure that instead of just charging more?
So listen, this was not a response to a deficit.
Yeah. What do you mean?
This tax was not a response to what we were, everyone's talking about, the $5 million deficit, which
$8 million.
Whatever it is, it's changed over time. Started at 2, then 3, then 5, then 8. So whatever that is, this was not a response to that, only. That's why if that were the case, we'd do a quarter cent tax raise.
Yeah.
Or a half cent tax raise. We did a 1 cent because there are, the deficit does not take into account things that are not in general fund and things that are not impacted by general fund. So, you know, we have critical assets that are deteriorating. We can go down the list, and we also, with our current budget, can't partner with one of the big issues with Prop 47, AB 109 and Prop 57. Those things put an immense amount of pressure on our county. immense amount of pressure on our law enforcement. It's added probably about 20 officers that we have to have at the city of Reading, which is about a $5 million cost a year just because of those state laws. That put a lot of pressure on the sheriff as well at the jail. And so guess what's happening? Revolving door, right? Repeat offenders. More arrests, more pressure. So we have 20 more officers likely as a result of these things. And this money, we wanted to actually make sure that we can partner with the sheriff on a work release program and to really help curb that repeat offender issue, because right now drug court's not doing it because there's no real threat of prison anymore.
No. Well, you know, right? The thing is, the people don't want an alternative custody program. They would prefer to have a jail, but we're not going to get a jail. And but I want to get back to the gist of it, you know. Do people know that in 5 years, all these requirements for spending go away and the city council can do whatever
they want? That's not true.
That's
no.
What I've been told by two sources that's
you
true.
You want to read it? Read the ordinance. It actually says within 5 years, they can reallocate within the same category. They cannot change categories and move the funds to a new category. They can reallocate. So what does that mean? So if the project that we allocated, because we're citizens and not part of the city.
Well, I can figure out what.
So just a second.
I mean.
Well, no, what I mean, I know, but the projects that we allocated in there, let's say Fire Station 9, actually costs go double. And they can't build Fire Station 9 for the allocation that's there. City
you know
council,
what they could do
hold on, hold on. Let me
that,
let me finish.
Well, instead of a 30-minute answer, I'd like a 30-minute
I'm not a
30.
I'm extra strong. I'm just.
You're just taking
go
off and
no,
going
all right.
Off. Here's an alternative to building that fire station that's costing too much. Have a private entity build
I didn't say
it
was costing
rent
too much.
It from them.
I was giving an example that the reason why they would.
So the station is going to cost double. What happens then?
Then they would be able to decide what other fire resources they could put it to. Wildfire mitigation. They can only use it within the same category.
Okay. So if the budget was, let's argue, $9 million and the station is going to be 18, instead of building the station, you'll now turn that 9 into, air quotes, other fire necessary things.
Yeah. It could, okay. Yes. They so cannot take that and put it to parks.
Yeah.
How about the oversight committee? What authority do they have?
Well, the authority they have is similar to planning commission. So it would be now an official.
Any.
Well, no, planning commission has an immense amount of influence. An immense amount of political influence. I mean, that's why there was so much uproar last year over a few big decisions.
I know a gal that Mike Littall said he'd put her on there. She'd quiet down. I'm not kidding you. He's also offered it to somebody else, I hear. I don't know that for a fact. But, you know, so what about a clawback?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something in there that'll keep the city from saying taking $5 million from the police and replacing it with this money and calling it even there? They've got $5 million.
Yeah, you're talking about the supplant language or what they call the fungible stuff.
Is that in there?
No, and I'll tell you what they can do. So I made a video this week that actually asked City Council to put forward a memorandum of or a maintenance of effort City Council policy on the public safety money if this were to pass. Because the other money, the reason why I don't think you want no supplant language with the other departments is because if the state of California changes the way it funds those things and it reduces the overall cost, we would want the budget to go down. We would want the overall cost to go down overall. So with public safety, I don't see those costs going down with the current trajectory of California law. So I think we should make sure that it's called a maintenance of effort, MOE, that they could pass that as a city council policy if this were to pass, that they will maintain the 2024-25 budget, and this will all be additional funding. The city council talked about it this last Tuesday, and it seemed like their posture is if this passes, we would bring that back and seriously consider that. It seemed like you would have more than enough support, I bet 5-0. Talk to the council members.
You know, that's the problem, Joshua, is our government has been so bad locally. National, we could go on, and then statewide, it's an absolute disaster with Mussolini and the group. But government has proven to be incredibly unreliable with doing the right thing across the board. And so you're saying there's plenty of support to do this thing, and yet we're being asked to generate
Well, and think of it this way. This is another one of those lines from the support. Is it's going to generate $30 million, of which half is coming from out-of-town people. So that means the city of Reading's residents are going to empty their bank accounts by $15 million. So just let that sink in, folks. You locals are going to give up $15 million of money that's now in your bank. Next year, if this passes, you will not have. If we go on the 50-50 proposal. And I know I can't put you to this. I'm going to ask you a very hypothetical because there's not a right answer. But the government has proven to be so bad before this. What's going to change down the road when they have more money to go spend on things? How do we protect ourselves against that?
One of the things that I would love to see if this were the best. So for me, I hate this. I hate that I even have to be on this side. It is the worst thing that I can imagine ever advocating for. But I raise my kids here. The way I look at taxes is that if I'm going to spend any taxes anywhere, I'd rather it be local because that's where I'm raising my family. However, I do want to hold government accountable. That's why I'm involved, Doug, Nick. That's why you see me everywhere, is because I'm trying to get involved in the mix of it. And I know that you guys are too. That's why I think this, it makes it great. We have to hold them accountable. Here's what I think needs to happen. We need to see, our city council members make the right decision if this were to pass, to do that memorandum or that maintenance of effort agreement. I do think that the political pressure is there to do it. Look, the rodeo lease was a great example of that. Everyone thought the city council was against the rodeo and a great lease got put together. And so we could look back in the past. Have they made some bad decisions? Yes. I don't know a government that hasn't. Right? So we have to get in there, get involved, tell them what we care about. Now, I think what I would love to see that discretionary funding used for, just a little bit of it, a public dashboard that shows financial audit results at all times.
Oh, no, that's an interesting concept.
Take a portion of it and say everything that the advisory committee is recommending is published, and that there's a dashboard that shows all of the audits and the results of those outside audits.
My concern with that, Joshua, is as Ms. Audette has been bringing forward, she's on the council and the financial people in the city won't give her the numbers. So what is to make us believe that if this dashboard, which sounds like an interesting idea because then, you know, people could, if they wanted, look up what our money's doing. How do we know that that's actually the right numbers? And then if Mr. Always Wrong was putting the numbers in there, are they going to be the right numbers?
Well, it would be from outside. It would be an outside audit, right? We currently do fund, we fund an outside audit.
Yeah.
I can get into the, you know, details later about, you know, Ms. Audette's, requests. Sometimes her requests are not super clear. Sometimes they are. Sometimes it's not super easy to go grab those numbers. Sometimes they might be. We don't have, with this new system, we don't have a great dashboard.
Yeah.
You know, and,
I mean, well, you know, let me cut in front of you. Wouldn't that be better that the city council at a minimum had a dashboard like that?
Yeah. You know what they have in other cities? So LA County actually elects a controller.
And it works really well down there. They only have like 63 million.
No, the controller. But what I'm saying is that the controller, I actually followed the LA controller, online because they're very interested. They're the antithesis of the city council. Like the mayor doesn't want to talk to them because they are looking at the programs and whether they're effective, where the money's going.
Oh, interesting.
And putting a dashboard together. It is a adversarial role.
Good.
And what I'm saying to that is that we could, as the people of Reading, decide that we want a city of Reading controller. The county could do the same thing.
Yeah.
They don't. But what I'm saying is we could do that, which would be they basically have an outside role to audit, all of the financials, and they are elected by the people.
It seems to me like the city goes out of their way to keep us misinformed. Here's something that
county does the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about the city. Here's a comment I got. The list and percentages allotted for roads, a whopping 30%. Sounds good, but then the term roads on the sample ballot includes and improved transportation. What does this last part mean? It implies that the whole 30% isn't going to fix our lousy roads and streets, but whatever is going to improve transportation. Are we going to spend more money on bicycle lanes and for few of us use more money on RABA buses?
I'm saying this is that when you have to include sidewalk, curb, and gutter, or otherwise when you're improving a road and you get to the sidewalk, curb, and gutter, you can't touch it and it's going to be crap. So sidewalk, curb, and gutter is part of transportation because that's part of – now, bike lanes, those are funded by state grants called a it's called a multi-mobility grant.
Well, maybe we didn't want them. Well, I didn't.
Well, I'll tell you, we weren't going to be able to improve a lot of those roads. I agree that maybe they aren't being used. We wouldn't have been able to get the pavement repaired at all without those grants.
Because of mismanagement with the city for the last 30 years.
Well, yeah. Well, the road infrastructure, public works, is a different fund. There's part of it that comes out of general fund, but most of those funds are coming from rates.
Mm, okay.
You know, a lot of public works is coming from, you know, sewer
water. And then the 12% going to the sheriff. When I originally read about this, it was going to be the sheriff's money.
Sorry, I was going to say, and gas tax, you know, fixes that. We get some money from the surplus from RABA as well to fix our roads, about $1 million or $2 a year.
The city was going to have a lot of say-so on how the sheriff spent that money, or they wouldn't give it to him.
What's that? The city would?
Yes.
It's
that's the way I originally read it a couple months ago.
The city's their intent is to give it to the sheriff for a
they're telling
work
him
release.
How he has to use it, and if he doesn't
says for jail or it lists things. Let's read it together. You want to read it?
No, I don't. No. We don't have a lot of time left.
All right. It definitely gives him a lot of autonomy. We have a lot of trust there. We're working on a deal. The city of Reading's working on a deal.
And then you've got
for land down in South Reading.
You've got Advance Reading. It looks like to me they're trying to blackmail you into more money. You know, with Judy Dyer and them giving $50,000 to this proposal, and then getting, what was it, $675,000?
We're questioning $600,000 literally a week later.
And, you know, I asked her one day if she was, if Advance Reading was part of Bethel, and she said no, and come to find out it is. It's an entity branch off of Bethel. And I have a hard time, I don't know, I think we're going to lose our civic auditorium no matter which way this goes.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing we're talking about today is this Measure A, and, you know,
and
Joshua.
And civic auditorium's in it.
Yeah, well, the concrete structure, we got to figure out something there.
You don't like the civic?
Well, if we could use the darn thing. I mean, now they're doing concerts outside. I'm sure the people down on the garden track love the concerts that, you know, 10 o'clock at night just rage. And I went to one a couple of years ago. And I'm going to say, if you're in the neighborhood or up on Hilltop, it might be pretty cool. But if you're...
Yeah, they have an ordinance that have to be done by 10, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. So, but no, on Measure A, we got 2.5 minutes, Josh. You know, we've started off with 14 minutes or so of Shasta and on explaining where this all came from. With 2 minutes left, what is the soundbite you want our folks to hear?
Yeah, I think that for me, Measure A is a unfortunate you know, type of scenario where the reason why I'm voting for it, I have it on my Facebook page. I listed out 10 reasons, but I just want to say that this is not a fix-it-all solution. We still have to elect people every year. I know that we're getting to the place of distrust within government where we want them to have, you know, really, we get our guy in office and all of a sudden they become our enemy because they're in office. They're part of the other, you know, they're part of the them crowd. You know, they're the city. And I'd say we still need to be able to vote something in like this to save our assets from deteriorating, to keep our officer levels at the 120 a year, to get our fire. We live in a high fire zone. 2018 was huge, you know, and we were all pro fire then, but now it's like, oh, we don't want to give, you know, the fire department any more money. Our roads are deteriorating. We're at a 49 score out of 100. I mean, guys, there is so many things that I think we need to make sure are preserved, and then we need to also do the work to find those cuts. I don't think that this has to be forever.
It's my opinion you should have came to some of us and asked us what we wanted. I would have said I want a moratorium on raises for at least 5 years.
Yeah, I think those things, I think that's what you should ask your city council for.
I don't want any more parolees dumped off here that don't belong here. They deny it, but they're being dropped off here all the time. I don't want out-of-town homeless and mentally ill dropped off here.
Right.
And there's, and you know, and
this doesn't address any of that.
Well, it can't. It's not a one size fits all. This is specifically going to these categories because this is where the needs were.
Well, I think we need the needs I just brought up also.
Well, I think the raises are something that I've beat on Carl a bit, and we're finishing up the show here is, you know, there's no discussion anywhere about reducing the cost of the government. It's just raising more revenue. And I think that's one of the things that might be missed
in this proposal is we're being asked for $15 million local dollars, just for the record, $15 million. But nobody's saying let's cut the salaries of these. You know, we had a cop, and I love cops, but we have a cop that made $660,000 last year. That's a lot of money for a police officer, all right?
Compared to what?
Well, that's $50,000 a month. That's $10,000 a week to be a police officer.
So Transparent California doesn't have accurate numbers. So I will say that. So let me just, you could go to the state controller website and be able to get more accurate numbers.
Okay.
Cause they,
how much was that inflated?
Well, they added $100,000 of just unfunded liability pro rata to everybody, which is not actual cost.
You're talking about their, CalPERS.
Yeah. Dang it. Yeah.
Well, that's not unfunded.
All right, guys. See you in 2 weeks.
KCNR, Shasta Ready.